Welcome to the Hype Leadership Podcast. David and Lindsay Curry are dynamic entrepreneurs focused in high-performance leadership and coaching in sales and service. Through the Hype Leadership Podcast, David and Lindsay strive to serve in your journey towards a high-performance life. And now, here are your hosts, David and Lindsay Curry.
Welcome to Hype Leadership Podcast. My name is Lindsay Curry, and this is my co-host, David Curry, and we are excited for this episode today. But before we jump into that, we've got our quote of the week. And the quote this week is, success is not a comfortable process. It is an uncomfortable endeavor. And that is by the infamous Steve Harvey. And if anything I can say is getting uncomfortable, it's definitely an endeavor. Is it not, David?
Yes, it is. Yeah, I think success is the ultimate goal. I've always kind of gone back to, I think a lot of people have asked, you know, in different various conferences, things we've been to, like, you define success. And to me, I've always defined success as achieving happiness, you know, so everybody's definition of success or level of success, I think, is probably individual to themselves. But I do think this also encompasses what it takes to get to that maybe happy state is probably a lot of uncomfortability. So I think those two things kind of go together. You know, our infamous mentor, John Maxwell, we speak to so much, always says that success comes with failure, you know, that failure is a part of success. So you can't, I don't think, look at success as this constant uphill climb. You're going to experience some downfall. And as we have experienced lately, some uncomfortableness as you grow to those different plateaus that you may achieve along your way seeking success. So with that lens, I know I kind of hinted at our uncomfortable endeavor we've been on, but we've recently just finished and completed this week our first Social Security seminar. Woo! Never considered myself or yourself to be a Social Security expert, but we were teaching folks this week in a room at our local library about applying for Social Security and how that Social Security can affect the rest of their life and the importance and the value of that. So let me ask you, I guess, what were your feelings or how did you prepare? What did the weeks coming up to, because we've known for probably a couple of months now that we had this seminar on the books. We've been marketing that seminar to fill the room. That went great, by the way. Shout out to Acquire Up, who helped us do that. I think we had 60 folks apply or register for the event, 35 be there in-house when we hosted that. So leading up to that event and knowing that, or maybe feeling that you weren't this Social Security connoisseur, what was that like for you leading up to this seminar?
Well, I would say leading up to it, you know, emotionally, physically, mentally, I knew that there was going to have to be a lot of preparation, and it was really going to stretch us. You know, when I think about, you know, actually one of John Maxwell's books, he talks about the law of the rubber band and says, you know, growth stops when you lose tension between where you are and where you could be. So if you think about that, and I really correlate it back to the first time I knocked on a door, because for those of you that may be tuning in for the first time, Final Expense Agency, primarily serving seniors through just following up on lead cards and knocking on their door. So that first time I knocked on the door, I mean, you're like, do they answer? What am I going to say when they answer? How am I going to respond? What are they going to say to me? All these questions are going through your head. And it was, I think about our first Social Security seminar, and much in the same fashion. you know, we've been in this business at this point for 11 to 12 years. And just that uncomfortableness of, okay, I'm getting up here, I'm presenting, speaking to folks about something that I've never spoken to them about, even though we had prepared and we, you know, we had slides and we've educated ourselves, but it's just, it's the unknown, right? What questions are we going to get? Do I have the answers? But so I think a lot of thoughts were squirreling in my head. I know for you personally, they probably were. You just maybe weren't voicing those as much as I was, but definitely preparation. But I knew going into it, here's what I'll say. Going into something new, I want to encourage folks, going into something new, don't expect everything to go perfect because it won't. Just know that you're going to learn something and know that you're going to be able to get better. And that's what I went into this first Social Security seminar with my intention. Hey, look, I know it's not going to be our best, but we're going to show up anyways. I'm going to give my best and I'm going to learn something so I can be better the next time.
Yeah, it's, you know, it's funny. You say that time that we started our business, you know, 12 years ago and knocking on that first door. And I go back to that and it kind of makes me think about leading up to this, right? Something new, something you're doing for the first time. For me personally, one of the most valuable pieces to helping me push through for this event in particular, and really, when I think about the first door that I knocked on, what helped me stay secure in taking that step was the people around me. You know, I know you, you were probably the biggest piece to this puzzle because I knew that I'm not going to be standing in front of this room alone, you know, where maybe knocking on a door, that is the case where you're like, okay, I've seen this done. I've been with somebody. They've taught me how to do this. I've studied the words that should come out of my mouth, but I am by myself. So that was one comforting thing for myself leading up to this, because no, I am the person that overthinks, overanalyzes, wants to be perfect. So the fact that I knew there were going to be questions asked in that room that we did not have the answers for, that was very daunting and very intimidating. But knowing that you were going to be in that room, we had Kevin Glasscock, who's been on the show with us. He's been with us really from day one in our business. I knew that we were going to make it, right? And I knew I wasn't going to be on this island by myself. So I think that looking at your network, looking at the people that are in the boat with you is a big piece as to how you embark into that uncomfortable space and take on something new, right? And then the other thing I would say, this card has stayed on my desk for, I guess, this year. You know, Don Yeager, part of the Maxwell Leadership Group. He also spoke to us at the AmeriLife kickoff event. He spoke to 16 characteristics of greatness and broke that down into four pieces. And one of those pieces about the greats, and he referenced specifically Michael Jordan, your Oprah Winfrey's, the people that have done way beyond what any average has ever done, talks about how they prepare, right? So I think the more you prepare, especially if you're doing something new, the more you prepare, the more that you can create a slight hint of comfortability because you feel like whatever comes your way, you may be a little more ready for. And I think that we showed up that way at the event. There was a lot of questions asked. Some we looked up while we were there. Some we already had the answers for, which if you asked us those questions a month ago, we wouldn't have had those questions. So all in all, I think we endured the storm, as you could say, with that uncomfortable endeavor well. And yes, certainly looking and excited about the next one, because I know as soon as it was over, I felt this relief that, man, we can do this. Man, the next one is going to rock out. So I would ask you, I guess, Lindsay, your side, your takeaway or your perspective on the takeaway. So coming out of that conference or seminar and event, what takeaways are you walking out with?
Well, some of the takeaways that I had, first and foremost, I was blown away because I'll be honest with you, is when we had partnered with the Choir Up, and I'm thinking, okay, there hasn't been a whole lot of seminars in our area. You know, we're based in Kentucky. And I'm thinking, oh, we'll probably have 10 or 15 folks show up. Like, basically no big deal. But when you shared with me last Friday, hey, we've got 66 folks or 60 folks registered, I'm thinking, oh my goodness, what the heck? I cannot believe this. And then when 35 to 40 individuals showed up, they want to know. I think my biggest takeaway is that there's so much, you know, with the baby boomer generation, there's so many things that are changing as far as Social Security, and not only Social Security, but Medicare as well. And they have all of these questions where I would say that the baby boomers, their parents, you know, when they went to go receive their Social Security benefit, they probably didn't put a whole lot of thought into it. Right. They walked down to the office. They either filed at 62, 65, whatever the case may be, took their benefit and went on their merry little way, where, you know, the state that we are in today, there's so many additional questions. How can they, you know, how can they gain from delaying their benefit? There's so many questions that they have. And I think that excited me that so many individuals showed up to learn more, to ask additional questions that, hey, there are people that we can serve based on these seminars and educating them to make the decision for their future. And so I think that was one of the biggest takeaways because, like I said earlier, I didn't think a whole lot of people would show up. I thought, we'll just try this. But I was blown away at how many individuals did show up. And I think that's what gets me excited for our next one and really 2026.
Yep. Yeah. And it's funny, again, it correlates to me. So the customer, the consumer, the person that was there in the room, as we mentioned, I did specifically that the people in my boat with me created a little comfortability for me. It's really the same thing for them. They're looking for somebody that may have a little more education, has a little more experience, or if anything, can just ride this out with them or bounce these ideas, these questions and concerns around to get to a place of, because they're walking in, right, to a new uncomfortable endeavor of no more income. I've retired and I'm turning on this Social Security check. What happens? What happens now? You know, the rest of my life is based on this Social Security payment. And as we know, some of those payments aren't the biggest to plan the rest of your life with. But I would say what we've learned is shows that if you do that right, it can be, and it does make a total difference as to how you go about Social Security and turning that on can determine tens to hundreds of thousands of dollars in difference in the rest of what you have to live your life with. So I'll just ask you, Lindsay, if you want to kick around, maybe speaking more to a consumer, what it is that you have learned about Social Security, I would say probably over the last month or so.
Well, I think one of the biggest things that I learned was the formula that Social Security uses. So they use three bend points, and it seems very complex. I'll just be honest with you. It seems very complex, and they take it based off of your AIM, which is 35 years of your highest earnings. And so think about that. Your 35 years of your highest earnings. Well, some people may say, hey, well, I stepped out of the workforce for 5 years because I was raising children or whatever the case. So then those are filled in with zeros at that point. And so that's something personally that I learned. And another thing is I would encourage folks, and David, I know you have the website available. I would encourage folks to go onto the Social Security website, which David will give that here in a moment, and evaluate, you know, see where you're, you know, do you have zeros in there? Do you have zeros that maybe you shouldn't have zeros? Because mistakes can happen. I'm not saying that they will, but they can. And it's on our own selves to look at that and say, okay, no, this is correct. And so you're able to move forward.
Man, you stole my thunder. You stole my one takeaway. But no, that is exactly it. And that's what I said. That's what I told that room was, what I feel is most important for a consumer, and I know that we are speaking to 60 to 70, even 75-year-olds, I know that we talk to in that room. I know they're not as comfortable with the computer, with online, especially with giving away their vital information. But yes, it is www.ssa.gov/myaccount. Setting up my account at Social Security is going to give you as a consumer all the insight that you need on what is my true earning calculation. What are some of those years that are calculated into that 35? Maybe what were some of those zeros, if there were some? And I think there can't be a more important thing for someone walking into the Social Security realm than setting up their personal account, because like we said to the room and like we tried to do, yes, this is your formula, and maybe that's what you consider to be your income for that year, but what do they have? What does the government have? What does Social Security have? Because they're the ones cutting the check, right? They're the ones signing the check. And if they don't have maybe what you have, then that number isn't going to calculate out the same. So I guess getting to the source of truth, right? I've said that a couple times over this week. Getting to the source of truth is so important. And when it comes to Social Security, it is that individualized account for yourself that is your source of truth. And it's going to help you answer all those questions, right? Like, one of the big things that I learned, and it's very general and it's very broad, and a lot of people may already even understand it, but, you know, 62 is when we qualify, but right now it could be 66 or 67 that I hit full retirement age. One thing I personally also learned was that if you hold past that full retirement age, will actually increase your income by 8% every month. So that was some of my takeaways. You know, I know you and I personally have talked to your father this past couple weeks, and he is now embarking on that age 70, where basically you have maxed out what they're going to do for you, right? If we breach past full retirement age of Social Security, if you make it to 70 and you haven't turned that thing on, there's no more reason why you should continue to be waiting to turn that on, because they're not going to increase that payment. They're just going to hold on to it until you ask for it. So, but that was a big thing. That was something I learned, was that the longer that we wait, the more bonus or benefit we may get. And that was kind of a mind flip. I know we said, there was a quote on one of the documents that we handed out to the team or to the attendees that said, we've traditionally thought going early, being early is a good thing, right? And that being late was a bonus, where Social Security, that's totally flipped the script, right? The earlier you go, the bigger penalty you may take. And then also, clearly, there's a lot of depth and getting in the weeds when you talk about how you manage your taxes and your income and how that extra income may affect the taxes that you pay or the tax bracket that you're in. And that is going to be a whole nother call as far as what you could do with that. But There's a lot there. And, you know, Lindsay, like we said, if you look at that Social Security dollar amount and over a 20 to 30 year time frame, you know, I saw something today. There's a stat out there that says most people don't want to live to be 100 years old, but by 2054, so 30 years from now, the number of people living to 50 or to be 100 years old will quadruple what it is today. So that's a big deal. And what that says is that longevity of life is there. You know, modern medicine, you know, the focus on health, the way people are choosing to live, all of these things are coming into play, and they promote the fact that this is going to make a big difference. And if you look at a Social Security income for 20 to 30 years, we are talking hundreds of thousands of dollars if you turn that on at 62 versus turn that on at 70.
Correct.
But yeah. Clearly, again, everybody is independent, and there's a lot of things that come into what's right for you. And those are also things we went through with the people that were there in the room. That was good. So let's talk about what's next, right? You've talked about how excited you are and how confident you were that we were going to do this and we were going to be better the next time we did it. Thinking now that that first step is behind us, what are some of the things that we can do maybe to make sure that the next presentation is more valuable, or that we are better as presenters the next time we do this?
Well, one thing that I thought is people relate when they're able to connect with stories. So one of the things that I know we had discussed, I believe, with Kevin right after the event is, you know, really kind of take an inventory. Okay, who is showing up to these events? Is it postal workers? Is it, you know, someone who's been at AT&T for 40 years? Who are the individuals that are showing up? Did they work at UPS, firefighters? And really deep diving into some of those scenarios that we're able to share with individuals that do show up to the event. Because what if you're able to connect and you're like, hey, that scenario is exactly what I'm getting ready to go through. I need to ask them more questions because maybe they've got a one-off on their scenario, then you're able to connect more. And I think that was one of the biggest things that I took away that said, hey, we really need to implement this into the presentation, because when people can connect with real stories, because we connect with things that we're similar to, right? Whether it's the same holiday, or maybe we eat the same food, or maybe we take the same supplements, whatever that is, if you're able to connect on that, then you're going to continue to ask more questions. And, you know, that was one of the things that, you know, leading that event, I'm thinking, okay, that is something that we've really got to hone in on this next seminar to really continue to get the engagement. We had a ton of engagement, but, you know, get the engagement that they feel more connected.
Yeah, and more, and I'm glad you said it and framed it that way, because that's kind of what I'm thinking too, is the best thing that we could convey to somebody is that Social Security is not a do-it-yourself type of thing, and it doesn't have to be, right? Yeah. There are people, there are advisors like ourselves that are there almost at a no cost to help maximize what that Social Security benefit or what the right time to turn that on is like. And one thing I think about, Lindsay, we were kind of presented this opportunity before we started, but we didn't really know what it was, right? The one thing I said coming out of there is, now we know a little bit about who's in the room. We know a little bit more about Social Security, and we know how to connect, right? How to create that connection, or maybe how to present ourselves. And I think that can be one of the biggest differences we make next time we do it, is presenting ourselves as that person that's there to come along with them, to get in the boat and help them row through these retirement decisions that they're making, and not present ourselves as someone that they probably look at coming in the room as a salesperson, or what are they getting out of doing this for me, right? Right. Besides grabbing a piece of whatever pie I've created for myself.
Correct. And, you know, as you're speaking, David, I'm thinking about, so in kind of correlating with what we're sharing about this uncomfortable endeavor and how so many things throughout life, day to day, can be so uncomfortable. And I was laying our daughters down last night, and Lenny, our 8-year-old, she's sharing with me about this speaker that came to speak to their school yesterday. And I'll be honest with you, I still haven't clarified the name yet. He was an NBA player, played for the Lakers. You'll have to do some digging, David, while if you can find it. But so he's sharing about his childhood and how difficult the upbringing was. And he's sharing, I mean, traumatic. I mean, I was in tears crying last night. Lenny told me she cried 5 times while he was speaking at school. My son said he had cried actually while I was listening. I mean, very moving. Like you felt for him. So this gentleman, which I still don't know his name. I will get the name. But he is talking about this and he shares this story. And again, it's coming from my 8-year-old, so I'm trying to kind of piece it together. But she says he told this story about there's a king in this land. And this king drops this big boulder in the middle of the road. So in order to get to the other side where all the food and the water and the trade and all the things that they need, you can't get past this boulder, or you have to walk all the way around the boulder, which can take up to 5 days. Again, this is Lenny's version of the story. So it could take up to 5 days. And so, you know, there was a set of people, they're like, the boulder's in the way. So they went on the long trek around 5 days. Then another gentleman shows up and was like, the boulder's in the way. And so he's like, I can't get across. And so he just, you know, stays on the other side. He didn't want to trek the five days. And then there is this homeless gentleman that shows up and says to the king, you know, my friends aren't going to be able to get across to get food or water. So this homeless gentleman starts pushing the boulder. And this boulder is huge and he can barely move it, but it's moving a little inch at a time and a little inch at a time. And then the king looks to him and says, you know what? He's going to grant him, he's going to give him money because he was not caring only for himself, but he took joy and cared for others. And I said, okay. I said, so Lenny, what was the moral of the story? She said, the moral of the story is to find joy and not allow an obstacle like a boulder to get in the way of what it is that you're trying to accomplish. And I thought, you know, that ties in exactly with what we're saying, right? And many of you may have boulders in your life, right? These big rocks you can't get around. And I want to encourage you, like, think about that. How, you know, what is another way that you can continue? Maybe you need to look at it differently. Maybe you need to ask a friend. Maybe you need to ask a colleague. Reach out for help to see it from another perspective. So,
our source of truth, my beautiful 8-year-old daughter, Lenny. What a big life lesson. And that was kind of what I was going to wrap you up with, was what lessons we've learned or that you could share that will help people embrace that uncomfortableness.
Well, I think the biggest thing that I've learned is, because you hear it all the time, especially if you're in self-development or if you're in sales, you hear, you know, you've got to get uncomfortable to get comfortable. And you hear it so much that it's like, it's almost like white noise, right? You just hear it. But when you really take action and you're doing something that you've not done before, again, you know, knocking on doors and then Medicare and now retirement planning and doing this seminar, that's something we've never done before. Like showing up as far as the emotional aspect, the physical, the mental that it takes on you, But knowing going into that, like that challenge and that that's where the growth happens. Like right in the midst of it, that is where the growth happens. And I think it was a beautiful reminder of how growth shows up. It doesn't show up when you're sitting pretty, you know, in a chair and, you know, just enjoying the day. Like it happens in those moments when you're uncomfortable and you don't know exactly and you're kind of stressed and you're getting through it. Like that's when the growth shows up.
Yeah. And what I would leave, there's no doubt about it. And it is cliche, right? Embrace the uncomfortableness, you know, get comfortable with the uncomfortable. It is a cliche, especially in our world, you know, sales in general. You know, you show up day in, day out and are not sure of what's guaranteed to come that, you know, you have to make happen to provide. What I would say the most important thing for myself has been, and will continue to be, and would be the most important advice to give someone else, is that you've got to find the people that are going to be there with you. And if you're, and I, again, bring the kids back into this, it's something that I was speaking to Locke about this week. And we spoke to our team about on Wednesday morning. If you're in a fight, Is it easier to fight that fight one-on-one, or if you are paired and partnered with somebody else, now it becomes a two-on-one fight? And I think it's that it's at its simplest. Understanding when you align yourself with others, you are aligning someone else that is now taking on the mission or taking on the fight right there with you. And to go back to our childhood, is it easier to fight one-on-one, or if you've got two or three or four against that one, who's going to win the fight? And that's the same thing that you can get any kind of uncomfortable endeavor and break that down to. Who are you going forward with? And that's the challenge, I would say, is to align yourself.
Absolutely. Absolutely. All right. Well, again, thank you to all our Hype listeners. Make sure to like and subscribe, and we will see you all next week. Thank you.
David and Lindsay Curry are focused on high-performance coaching and sales and service. Reach out today at 502-314-2789 or visit hype.financial. That's HIPE.financial to learn more. Thanks for listening to the Hype Leadership Podcast.
I'm speaking with Michael Bremer. He is the Vice President of Experian Global Data Breach Resolution and Consumer Protection. Mike, thanks so much for taking some time for me. Really do appreciate it, sir.
Thank you, Matt. I appreciate being here.
Well, you know, it is very much the case, at least in my casual observation anyway, we're hearing more and more about fraud, identity theft, data breaches kind of all the time. What does this report show, this new report that you all have out? Am I imagining things, or is it becoming more prevalent?
The most recent U.S. identity and fraud report that we just put out surveyed 2,000 consumers, and their top three concerns were generative AI, deepfakes, and cybercrime. More specifically, 84% of them had a concern over identity theft, as well as stolen credit cards. And the numbers that are high were even 20% higher than they were in 2023. So it is a big concern.
Well, yeah, I mean, it does. So I am not alone in sharing those concerns there. How do people then, you know, go about protecting themselves from all of these different things that you were talking about? I mean, we can just, you know, start out with, you know, fraud and identity theft, perhaps, because it's a, as you say, it's a big concern. And it's something that it seems like every other day we're hearing about some other, you know, data breach or some new type of fraud that's out there.
Last year, Matt, every consumer in the U.S. received at least three notices of a data breach, and the number's going to be higher even this year. Some of the best things you can do to protect yourself if you receive a notice of a data breach, is monitor your credit file and place a credit freeze if you're not credit active. I would also not click on any links, answer any phone calls, or even use the famous new QR code, because humans can't tell the difference between a good QR code and a bad QR code. Furthermore, don't use any public Wi-Fi. It can be spoofed. I would make sure that encryption and a VPN, if it's available on your device, is turned on so your data is protected both at rest and in transit. And then make sure you have a second factor of authentication on your financial accounts for sure, and most accounts where they offer it. This would be, in addition to a username and password, you'd have a thumbprint, a retina scan, maybe even just a request for a text to go to your phone to confirm it's you beyond that username and password.
Gotcha. Very, very good. And it's interesting, you know, the prevalence now, as you mentioned a moment ago, of QR codes in, you know, just our everyday lives. It seems like, you know, they've been around for quite a long time, but didn't really catch on, I feel like, until the pandemic. How do we sort of know how to protect ourselves from, a QR code that may or may not be something that leads us somewhere kind of nefarious?
You can't trust any QR codes, and it's very hard. There are some sites that say, hey, if you put in this QR code, it may be able to be detected as legitimate or not. But there's even scam sites that are saying, check your QR code here. So it's a double whammy. You're going to try to protect yourself and you get scammed on that. So I would say altogether, avoid them. Make a phone call in, send an email back to a company if you need to have some sort of connection, and you initiate that versus being the receiver of a fraudulent code.
Wow. And as far as the concerns you mentioned kind of in the beginning here that people have about AI, especially generative AI, talk about that and how people can, it can be very difficult, obviously, the better the technology gets, but how can you recognize things that are, again, real versus fake?
The easiest way to do it in terms of a catch-all would be if the offer, if the image, if the fact seems too good to be true. There's recent reports about foreign nation states that are putting out fake election information, both images as well as copy. And it's pretty outlandish. And that's probably a good example where you just can't know if it's really there until it seems too good to be true. But I would also stay away from sites that you're not familiar with, because there's lots of scams going around, like a travel booking site that gives you really great airfare or a below market rate on a hotel. Even natural disasters, there's a scam for, hey, this hurricane's just hit, please donate to this charity, and they spoof the Red Cross, or they spoof the local food bank charity. It doesn't matter. I also think a lot of people take advantage of free Wi-Fi when they're traveling. And in fact, that Wi-Fi can be spoofed and you don't know if the data is compromised because it's gone and you never even realize it.
Yeah, just proceed with caution in all areas, definitely. Well, Mike, just about time for us to wrap things up here, but are there any resources that our listeners can utilize maybe online and just go to learn more about all of these different issues?
Yes, Matt. The one-stop shop is www.experian.com, and you can get not only tips on how to protect yourself for identity theft, but also if, in fact, you might be suffering identity theft, you can see the warning signs and, most importantly, what to do and what steps to take to protect yourself in the future.
Very good. Michael Bremer is Vice President of Experian Global Data Breach Resolution and Consumer Protection. Of course, they're at Experian. Mike, thanks so much. Really do appreciate your time, sir.
Thank you, Matt.